right, let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 6. We didn't get real far last week on our message. There's some other things I wanted to see. Wednesday night is kind of a Bible study. We kind of go through and glean from the Word of God. There's always several things. There's several things. In fact, any of these, a lot of we go through we go verse by verse. You could probably take any of these verses and have a message on them. You could take almost any of these themes that we come across and spend a lot of time studying the Bible. But my goal was to kind of show you what's there and maybe pique your interest. So we have some points, and sometimes they follow right along with each other. Sometimes they don't. But we see a lot of things that are in here. And God didn't just, He didn't just say, okay, we're going to have a bunch of, by the way, anybody need a worksheet? Anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get one? Just lift your hand up. Anybody? Okay, went over there. God didn't put, he didn't say, well, this is a book of faith, and this is a book of promises, and this is a book on sin, and this is a book. He didn't do that, because we would start trying to diagnose what our issues are. And we would decide what we need to talk about, what we don't need to talk about. We get our little favorite pieces and the parts that we would try to avoid. And the fact is, God's got it all in there. And these things were written for our end samples to teach us. So that when we read the Word of God, when we read the Bible, He catches all of us. And sometimes He catches us unawares. And we got something going on, all of a sudden, I didn't see that one coming. I thought I was going to like this message. And all of a sudden, he put something in there that was just for us. And so that's okay. He does it. Expect it. Expect it. John chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading verse number 1. We're going to read the first 15 verses to show the story again. And put it back in our mind, and then we're going to move on. I usually fill in the blanks, and I forgot to do that for you. We got some spots here where it's new, and I didn't. So we'll have to go the first half. It'll be very, very fast. So get your pencil ready, it's going to be smoking. All righty. John chapter 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. So he's heading out of town, and all these people follow him. A great multitude. I mean, at least 5,000 men, probably as many women and children, but at least 5,000 men. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Now, why is he telling us that? Because a lot of people were in town. It's kind of like bike night, or when all the hot rods come into town. Okay? Places just booked up. And so everybody in town. And while they're in town, they decided they're going to check out this Jesus guy they've been hearing about. And so they're all in town. So that's why he's saying, are you sure there was that many people? Yeah, it was that many people, because there was people were coming in from other towns. Verse 4. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? It's just kind of interesting. I could just picture this thing. Here's Jesus sitting down there with the disciples having a conversation, and all of a sudden he hears this crowd. He can feel the earth moving, and there's probably 10 to 15,000 people, at least 5,000, but probably 10 to 15, coming up over the hill. And he says to Philip, well, I guess we've got a lot of folks coming for dinner tonight. You see this crowd coming up really, this huge crowd. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He was going to get a rise out of Philip. Well, what do you think about this is going to happen? And Philip answered him, says, well, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may eat. That was probably about as much as they had in the treasury, in their money bag. And he said, well, we got 200 penny, but I don't think that's going to feed them. What are we going to do? One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, well, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Can you imagine what the disciples said at that point? Send them back in the town. We can't feed these guys. Sit them down. All right, we're going to sit them down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. Notice the process there. He gave to the disciples, the learners, and the learners gave to the rest of the people. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. In other words, the people said, well, can I have two pieces? Well, sure. And God back, hey. Kind of like when Darren goes to a fish fry. If you've been to a fish fry with Darren, you know that he can just eat fish till it comes out his ears and every place else and just keeps coming. So every time Peter went by, Darren would say, hey, give me another fish or two here. You know, and then Philip, hey, Philip, give me another fish or two here. And so that they ate as much as they would. I mean, they had a smorgasbord. It was full. It was all you could eat. When they were filled, verse 12, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. Now, it doesn't say the fishes. This is the barley loaves. Can you imagine what the best that fish would have been? He said, no, you can take the bread home, but don't take that fish. It'll spoil before you get home. Anyway, he says, to the 12 baskets full of the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men which they had seen, that had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now again, let me remind you, they sit down here, 5,000 men at least, and wait for these 12 guys to feed them. Now, Brother Bill, I know you probably have been a caterer for a couple of large crowds, but have you ever fed 5,000 people? Not quite, yeah. Did you ever do 1,000? Yeah, probably did. And that was a lot of work. And you had some help. Yeah, lots of help. But he sits down. Now, they didn't even have time to prepare. And they just sit down, feed me. He's going to feed us somehow. No, he's going to feed us. They saw the miracles, so they believed that he could, and they liked being served, if you will. And so they said, you know, this guy's pretty good. Free lunch. Hey, a chicken in every pot. I think I heard that somewhere. If this guy's become king, he'll feed all of us. If this guy becomes king, we don't have to go to the doctor. We don't worry about the doctor. He'll just fix everything. If this guy becomes our king, we're in great shape. Everything's hunky-dory with no more problem. Never have to think about another thing. Verse 15, when Jesus there perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. Lots to cover tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. We thank you for your word. May we see ourselves in the mirror here. And Lord, when we see ourselves, we may see different glimpses. We may see ourselves in different lights, depending on where we are in the story. So Lord, give us your wisdom and your Holy Spirit to work. And may we yield to you and surrender and confess what we are, forsake what we are. Lord, you can give us mercy and grace to be what we should be. Lord, I pray that you bless us in Christ's name. Amen. Number one, we found here last week there are some people that are fans. Some people that are fans, F-A-N-S, just like a fan of a singer. They like what's going on. They're a fan of what's going on. Fans like what they see. I'll give you these real fast if you had them from last week, so you're going to move fast. They like what they see. It says they saw the miracles which they did were disease. Again, the word disease means feeble, no longer at ease. These people had problems, and he was going to fix them, and that's pretty cool. He comes along, he's the fixer. He's the fixer. He's the provider. That's good. But fans like that. Fans like what the master, letter C, does. Fans like what the master does. He's doing things for us. You know, it's just like people who have certain favorite singers and they like this particular album because they like that music. But then they did something different and did on this album. They don't like that guy anymore. And they throw him out. They're done with him. And people are fickle. People are fickle. They like what they like when they like it. If they don't like it, it's the way it is. And sometimes it's almost a flip of the coin for that day, what they like and what they don't like. And by the way, our relationship with God is not a flip of the coin. I'm going to serve him today, I'm not going to serve him today. Our relationship with God, the one who died and paid for our sins, should not be a fickle relationship. Okay, but a lot of folks are fans. Letter D, fans like the quality of their lives, like it when the quality of their lives are being enhanced. They like the quality of their lives are enhanced by the master. Made my life easier. Made my life more fun. I like this. Well, I'm going to go to church. Well, I'm not going to go to church, but it's just dry and boring. All they do is read the Bible and tell you what's in it. Man, I don't want to do that. And they got somebody else says, hey, you know what they do? They read the Bible and they tell you what's in it. Okay? Now, we're not going to take up a poll of what you want in church, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to serve up the Word of God. Now, some people are better at serving up the Word of God than others. I understand that. I'm not the best. But we're going to serve up the Word of God the best we can. And the fact is, if you come looking for the Holy Spirit to speak to your life, your heart, He will speak to your heart, especially if you use enough Scripture. It's there. So number two, I'm sorry, fans like to be served. Did they give you that one? Fans like to be served. They like to feel what it does for them. It gets something out of it. Letter F, fans are not looking to serve, so they seldom learn from the master. They're not there to learn to become like the master. They're not learn to do what he does. They're just there to get served. Just there to get served. Number two, Jesus had some followers. So he had some fans, but there were some followers. And Jesus went up into the mountain there. He sat with his disciples, his learners. Now, they had their problems too. But they didn't head out of town when everybody else went home. So the Passover, drawing all these people in, the letter B, followers do as the master does. If they are followers of him, they're going to end up doing what he does. Now, the people who were being served, the fans, they didn't do what Jesus did. They just liked what Jesus did, and they were hoping he was going to do it for them. But a follower does what the master does. Everybody has played Simon Says. Well, you do what Simon says. If you're going to be, you got leaders, you got to play follow the leader. You got to play follow the leader, you got leaders, you got followers. The followers, if they don't do what the leader did, then they're not following, and they're out of the game. I tell you what, there's a lot of folks, a lot of Christians who are out of the game. They may be saved and going to heaven, but they're out of the game because they're not following. They're just fans. And as long as it makes them feel good, they're on board. They do as the master does. Letter C, followers learn from the master. Disciples means learner. Followers learn from the master. Why? Because they want to do as the master does. Letter D, followers serve the master. Followers serve the master. They're not there to be served by the master. They're there because the master is a source of truth and understanding and wisdom and they want to learn what the master has, and so they're there to follow him and to learn. And so they serve him. Letter E, followers follow anyway, even if they do not always like what they see. Fans, if they don't like what they see, they'll go follow somebody else. A follower says, I'm sticking with him even though I'm going to the valley of shadow of death. He says, I'm going to lead you in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake, it says in Psalm 23. And he said, and while he's leading them through the paths of righteousness, they may go right straight through the valley of the shadow of death, but I'll fear no evil because he's with me. Well, why is he with me? Because that's where he's been leading me through. Now, here's what happens. If I don't let him follow and be my shepherd, I may go through the valley of the shadow of death, and he won't be there. Now, I know he'll reach out and get your hand and bring you out, but you may fear some evil because you walked in a valley you weren't supposed to be there. But if you let him be your shepherd and you let him lead you in paths of righteousness, even when it goes through the valley of shadow of death, it's all right. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. He says, I can sense the rod and thy staff. I can sense him leading me, prodding me, making sure I'm staying on the path, not getting over here in the briars. I can feel it, and it comforts me. I can sense him taking me by the shoulders and leading me in the right. That's what the rod and the staff is do. It's supposed to limit your options. No, we don't go there. No, we got this wide little road is where we need to go. I want you to stay right there. He comforts. Followers follow even when they don't like where he's going. Number three, there are more fans than followers. There are more fans than followers. There's usually more spectators than there are servants. They're watching what's going on. There's less commitment. Fans are around as long as enhancing their lives. They come to church as long as they like the music, then it's better elsewhere. My fans come to church as long as the sermon's not too long or too dry or too boring or like the weather forecast, you know, dry and windy. And so we got fans who be faithful to the church and to the Lord or something else until some other thrill comes along, something better, something they like better, something that enamors them. It might be a ball team. It might be a car club. It might be the garden club. And none of those things are necessarily wrong, but if they get in your way with your relationship with God, then all of a sudden something good has become bad. Followers don't let something else get them distracted. Number four, followers are faithful and fans come and go. Followers are faithful and fans come and go. Letter A. We're getting to the new stuff here soon. Followers are seeking to follow, thus they want to follow how and where and when they follow. They want to know it all. They're seeking to follow. So tell me this, tell me that. They're asking questions. They're learning. Followers want to know. And letter B, we already kind of said this, followers are learners because they're seeking. Followers are learners. Letter C, followers want, that's a tight typo there, want to take advantage of every opportunity. Followers want to take advantage of every opportunity to learn what they can from the master. Fans see if it works with their schedule. Fan says, well, you know what, I really like to, but I'm not paying $45 for tickets. Fan says, you know, I'm kind of liked it there, but you know what that doggone preacher said? He said that God's expecting 10% of my income. Can't afford that. My soul. Can't afford that kind of stuff. Well, we'll just find something else to do that sounds spiritual. They come and go. Number five, fans may appear to be faithful because of their persistence to stay close to the master. They may appear to be faithful. Listen, that crowd that followed Jesus that day, they're being persistent. They followed him out there in the wilderness. But watch, the difference between fans and followers is whether you stay close to the master even when it's no longer fun. When it's no longer fun. By the way, that's when you know when your marriage is right. When you still love each other when it's no longer fun. About 2.5-3 years in, the tingles are gone. That's when the real life shows up. And then from 3 years to 7 years, you're trying to figure everything out. And then they say you get that 7-year itch. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I want to be, I don't know. It's getting a little itchy around here. We start looking around. Did you give your word to love till death do us part? And if you're a Christian, you know what love is. You do it. But see, that's when love really shows up. And actually, that's when love becomes deep. Because you're no longer just fans of each other's. You're faithful to each other. There's still nice to be a fan of one another. And we guys, we have very, very big egos that need to be stroked. And so it's nice to have a fan, a cheerleader. It really is. But guys, you know, your wife needs somebody to say, hey, I couldn't do this without you. You're it. You're my gal. You know, we need that. They need that. God made them that way. God made them to be your helpmeet. So they like to be successful. So how do they know they're successful? When they know that you couldn't live without them. Let them know that. Number six, fans want to be fed. Fans want to be fed. Boy, I'm not going very fast. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to them, he said, what are we going to do? He said, well, we want to be fed. They came to be fed. Letter B, obviously the people believed in Jesus to a certain extent, or they believed in Jesus to a certain extent, or they would not have sat down in the middle of nowhere at dinner time and expect them to serve them. And that's true. Letter C, fans are takers, not givers. Some people, again, as Christians, are you a taker or are you a giver? Are you here to say, well, you know, I'm just not getting enough out of this. People aren't spending enough time with me. They're not paying enough attention to me. Well, you know what? You know how folks have started paying? Everybody paid attention to Jesus. You know why? He was a giver. Now, I don't want to get into all this here, but there are people who called this week wanting to know when Patty's funeral was because they're going to fly in. Now, how many times did Patty stand up and give a testimony behind a pulpit or speak to a large crowd or all that? Did she ever? But there are boys and girls all over this area who know who Miss Patty is. Because she was there and she loved on them and they picked them up in the bus and they cared for them and spent time in the afternoon with them and all those kind of things. Whatever needed to be done, I'll do it. Followers, well, letter C. Followers feed. Fans want to be fed. Followers feed. So Philip answered and said, well, we don't have this, we don't have that. And notice this, number one, notice that Philip was willing to take on the responsibility to feed the fans. And I'm looking for something here to feed these people. I don't know what we're going to do. I got here, you know, this much money isn't going to do it. And then you got Andrew. He says, well, all I can find is a few fish, a few barley loaves. What are we going to do with that? But they actually went looking. Can you imagine? What if you were home and 5,000 people showed up at your house? Would you even bother to go to the cabinet to see if you can scrap something together? I mean, think about it. Well, let's see. Well, we can have, I don't even have enough to make grilled cheese for everybody. My soul, what are we going to do? But they went looking. Well, let me do something. So letter B, fans like to be served. Letter B. Fans like to be served. Letter C, followers are thinking about others. Now, hang tight. Number eight. This is new. Number eight. I want you to see the feasting fans. The feasting fans. Now, let me say that I'll spend a little bit of time here a little more of this in the end. These people are only fans. But Jesus still fed them. You know what? You know, if we're not careful, sometimes we can become self-righteous. Well, we're followers. And we've been followers for a long time. And I got a lot of people around here, they've been fans for a long time. And they really don't do much around here. And, you know, I don't know if we should even bother with them. I mean, let them feed themselves. That's all right. I mean, let them go. Followers have that thought of Christ. They have that heart of Christ in them. They just go ahead and feed anyway. And the fact is, how many times has some kid come on the bus or some kid's been in your Sunday school or some, and just think they're not getting it. And sometimes down the road, it eventually clicks. They came because they were a fan of Snickers bars. They came because they're a fan of pizza because they're going to stop at the pizza place on the way home. They're fans. You say, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to feed them anyway. And so when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments and remain that nothing be lost. By the way, as a reminder, all the scripture that's in bold is included in John, but it's not included in any of the other Gospels. That's why I put that in bold. So John's trying to teach us some things here specifically that other Gospels don't give us. Letter C. Followers see the need. Followers see the need. And maybe I should say it this way. They see the need of others. Fans see a need, but they don't even see their own. Well, I need this. Well, I'm not getting this. How many times have couples come in for counseling and said, but he's not meeting my needs. But she's not meeting my needs. Is that why you got married? For them, so you got somebody who's going to serve you for the rest of your life? Some of you ladies says, well, I knew it better than that. You know? Well, the fact is, we're not there to serve one. Now, out of love, we should serve one another. But what if they don't? That's where true love shows up. Number one, followers realize they cannot meet the need sufficiently. Followers of the master realize they cannot meet the need sufficiently. So number two, followers take the need to Jesus. True followers of the master will take the need to the master. I found a long time ago that I'm not the mechanic to try to work on these new cars. I started restoring engines, gas engines and steam engines and all kinds of things when I was 8. And that's no problem. But now, when 1986, I bought a brand new Ford Aerostar minivan. And one of those spaceshipy type. And everything was so compacted in the front hood of that thing there, you couldn't find anything. You had to stand on your head, flip your hand around here, and lift one leg to get to the oil filter. You know what I mean? It was just crazy. And you had to do it on the ground, you know. I just couldn't do it. And I finally said, psh, by the time I skinned my hands all up and bought the part twice, I got done fixed. I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take it to somebody who knows what they're doing. And life was a whole lot easier. Said I could teach two music lessons and pay for that shop trip to get the oil changed. So I'll just give two music lessons and let somebody else break up their knuckles. But the fact is, they put it on the rack and turned the thing off, and there it was done. And you know, that's the way it is with Jesus. We fret and fume, and we think, well, I meet the need. You know, well, they need me. No, they need Jesus. You're just the channel to help it get through. And so you got to take it to the master and let him do the job. Number three, followers trust the master to meet the need. Followers trust the master to meet the need. We say, well, how's they going to do it? I don't know. Can you imagine what they said? Well, we got five loaves and a couple of fishes here. What are we going to do with that? But here they are. Well, give them to me. Well, here you go. Give it to him and trust him with it. Well, my marriage could never get fixed. Well, why don't you all just give it to him and do what he says? Get your own pride out of it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is what ruins it all. Stop trying to be a taker and decide you're going to be a giver. Do the best you can. Now, I know it takes two parties to make that work. I understand. To make it work totally. But you can be right with the Lord on your side. The followers trust the master. Number four, followers are willing to obey the master and do as he says, even if it seems silly and fruitless to do so. Okay, Peter, let me give you a couple pieces of bread. I want you to take that wing over there. There's about 500 people over there. Well, I know what he started out with. And you're going to give me part of that. I mean, what are we going to do? It's like we're having communion service and everybody gets a little wafer or something. Even that won't go around. Just start giving it out. All right. You want two? Okay, here we go. And somehow, some way, when you least expect it, God makes it happen. If it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. God is still God, and he overpowers everything, even the natural. And we're so wise, we think, well, and you say, well, that's just fairy tale. It's not just fairy tale. It's amazing what God can do. I know that, listen, God fed us for months, and we did not have enough money coming in to feed the family and pay the bills. I know that. I know what it's like. There's been times in our life it was like that. We just kept doing what he said to do. I was scared not to. Because I figured, if I'm already short-handed, last thing I want to do is get on the wrong side of God. So they obey. Letter D. Watch this, though. Watch this. Followers get to see God work. The fan just got food. And they were eating. But I'll tell you what. The followers who were handing it out, they knew what was in their hand. And then they handed out again. And then they handed out again. And then they handed it out again. And then they handed it out again. They got to see the miracle firsthand. So a lot of people say, well, I never see God work. Well, when's the last time you actually followed him where he's going? When have you spent time serving him? Well, I've been waiting to see him do something, and then I'm going to decide if I want to serve him and follow him or not. Well, it doesn't work that way. You're still a fan. You're watching what he's doing everywhere else, and you're not getting any of it. Simply, now, you may get the overflow off it. Boy, I got blessed today. That was really good. I got served by, I had my fish and bread and fish and chips. I had my fish and chips. I'm in good. My belly's full, and I'm going to go home, and that's fine. But you say, well, I never really see God do anything in my life. I mean, I enjoyed watching it happen, but I didn't really get, well, that comes from serving. That's coming from getting in there and getting your hands dirty. And sometimes it's when God asks us to do something that doesn't make sense. And we expect to get some kind of good conclusion out of it. Followers get to see God work. The crowd, except for maybe a few folks sitting up real close, couldn't see what was going on. All they know was they were getting fed. And sure, the amount of food that would have been needed in the wilderness must have caused them to question and even marvel at the provision, but they were not privy, if you will, to the immediate working of God as those few loaves and fishes were multiplied right there over and over again. Letter E, the faith of the followers in the Lord Jesus is increased. The faith of the followers in the Lord Jesus is increased. Fans are just still waiting for another miracle. Waiting for another miracle. Looking for another sign. That word miracle, it really means sign. They're looking for another sign. Looking for another sign. Looking for another sign. Because they're getting it second hand. And you know, I'm going to stand here and say it all over again, but listen, I know what it's like to lose not my wife. I cannot say that. And I don't want to do that anytime soon. Frankly, I want to be gone before that happens. But I've lost a few loved ones, and yet God gets us through it. There's questions, and sometimes they say, well, I should have, I could have, would have, should have, you know, and all this stuff goes on. When my father died, it was kind of like some things just weren't right there in the hospital, and you think, well, maybe I should have, maybe I could have, or should have. But it really wasn't much else we could do because of his physical condition. But you get in there and you see God work. The faith of the followers of the Lord Jesus is increased because they were right there seeing him do it. The followers saw the small resource that was given to the master. And the followers get to see the mighty work of the master. The followers see the insufficiency of the material resources of two fishes and five barley loaves. However, they have two fishes, five barley loaves, and Jesus. So you have more than enough. Everything else may have drained us dry. The Lord's still here. So we have more than enough. Letter F, the Lord takes care of the followers. The Lord takes care of the followers. Look at verse 13. Therefore they gathered them together and filled them 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I don't know where, what, you know, whether they took them home someplace or whatever. I don't know. The TV said, well, they each gave them a doggy bag of 12, you know, of a basket of loaves to get to take home. I don't know. I don't know whether they were going back home. They probably weren't. But they probably ate off of it for a couple days. The crazy thing is, we're going to come down a little further, and they will have forgotten all about that 5,000 people being fed. We're going to see it in a little while. I mean, within the day. I think he gave them those 12 loaves so they would be reminded. We're still eating off of a miracle here. Number 9, kind of going another direction, but I want you to see something here. Number 9, forceful fans. Forceful fans. Verse 14, then those men which had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, this is of a truth. By golly, I'll bet on it. This is the prophet that should come into the world. This is the one we've been looking for. Notice that the average person had some understanding of the coming Messiah. And they recognized Jesus. While most of the Jewish leadership refused to see it. Have you been seeing all that? These people, this must be the prophet. No, it can't be. It can't be. No, it can't be. He did. He healed somebody on a Sabbath day, and I can't. No, that can't be. You know. So they got crazy things. Look at verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, to seize him, to take, and that really, that word by force means to take for oneself. Interesting. They're going to take him for themselves and make him a king for themselves. They're going to decide, this is our king. This is the one we want. They're going to make him the sovereign. But watch it. It's a sovereign that they can control. So in essence, they are. It's the sovereign, but he's a puppet. They want a king, but want somebody they can control. So the so-called followers were going to supersede the king, the leader, and force him to rule over them. We like this guy. If we're sick, we go to him. If we don't have anything to eat, he feeds us. We're going to make him king. God, you're king. Now, here's what I want. There are a lot of people who say, I'm so glad he's my King of Kings. He's my Lord of Lords. He's authority. He's all sufficient. And I'll tell you what, there's some things I want. And I've been meaning to talk to you about that. They want a puppet. They want an authority that they can manipulate to exercise his authority over everyone they choose him to rule over. So who's really ruling who? Letter D, followers do not force their own will on the master. Fans do. Fans who, I want you to sing this song. I want you to do this. I want you to, we need to be doing this. We got to do it. And as long as you're doing what we want, we like you. We like you a lot. Just make sure you do what we ask you to do. And you're our boy. Yeah, you are. And that's the way we treat God. As long as he does what I want, when I want, how I want, I like him. But as soon as he takes us through the valley of the shadow of death, all of a sudden he's a bad guy. All of a sudden we don't want to have anything to do with him. We're no longer a fan. But when the fans turn and leave and Jesus says, will you also turn back? What's our answer? Well, Lord, where else shall we go? You have the words of life. We don't understand everything you're doing. We don't understand why you do what would you do. But all I know is I got to stick with you. Fans will demand of the master to fulfill their desires. They're in it for what they get out of it. Letter F, or maybe an F, I don't know whether it's the right number or not. Fans are quick to change masters. Fans are quick to change masters. They're fickle. Whichever master is most advantageous to a fan is the master that the fan follows. My question is, in all this, are you a fan or are you a follower? Are you a fan or are you a follower? I don't mean, but usually Sunday morning church is full of a lot of fans. I try to be mean. I'm just trying to be honest. I'm not trying to be mean. But they'll come and see what they get out of it, and if they have time, they come. If there's something better, they don't. Now, I'm not the master, but I am the master's ambassador trying to give you what the master has to say. And that's why I encourage everybody to bring their own copy of the master's writings so that we, you know, that I'm getting it from them. Now remember, if you're just a fan, you're going to get blessed. Oh, you get blessed. You'll get fed. But you're not going to see it right there. You're not going to experience like you would if you're one of the followers. It's just one thing to hear about folks getting saved. It's another thing to actually lead somebody to the Lord. That's so cool. Number 10. So fans are forceful, number 9. Number 10, followers. I know it sounds redundant, but listen to me. Followers follow. Followers follow. Followers do not force the master. Too many so-called followers of Jesus are not followers at all. There's another typo there. Are not followers at all, but they're fans. We think we're followers, but we're not followers, we're fans. Fans, look, they're looking for the show of miracles. Boy, I got all weird and I got chills down my back, and boy, I was good. And then they go home and break half of the commandments before they get home. They are looking to have their lives eased. Remember, he helped the diseased? And they're looking for the master to take care of them. Letter C. Some so-called followers say they want to serve the master, but they want to do so in the position of advisor to the master. Tell him what to do. They claim to be following the master, but they are actually doing their own thing. And want to be the and want to put the master's name on it. Many do not wait for the master to give directions and then do as he says. They do what they want. People ruin their lives like this, their marriages, their homes. They ruin their churches like this. They may even look in the Bible to get some ideas of how to handle a certain situation, and then they alter it, revise it, misapply it, or even set it aside when it looks too far-fetched to actually work, like when they handed Jesus the loaves and fishes. Well, he got the loaves and fishes. What's that? Well, I'm not going to go out there in this crowd and start handing out those things. I'm going to have a riot on my hands. You want me to hand out a little bit of crumb? No, I want you to feed them. But you're only giving me a little bit here. Got a handful of crumbs. The kids been carrying around all day. It's all dry and it's falling apart in my hands here. You want me to give everybody a little bit? I'm not doing that. I'm going to be a laughing stock of the... I'm not asking you to do that. I asked you to feed them. Well, how am I supposed to do it? Just take my word for it. No, Jesus didn't do that. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Number 11. Last thought here. And I kind of talked on this, but I want to just spend just a moment on this. Jesus fed the fans as well as the followers. Now, I'm picking on the fans. But really, I'm just trying to encourage fans to be followers. You get a whole lot more out of it. I'm just telling you. But the fact is, Jesus will feed the fans. Letter A, the fans were not yet followers, but the Lord still took care of them. Jesus healed the diseased. Said he did. That's why they were coming. That's why they were coming in after him. Jesus fed them. They did not send them away hungry and needy. fed him. You know what he? You know what he also knew? He knew a lot of those folks were going to be back for Passover. And they were going to be in town when he's going to be crucified. Where was the 5,000 then? 5,000 men could have overtaken those Roman soldiers and kept Jesus from being crucified, scourged, mocked. Now, God didn't want that to happen because he had to die for our sins, understand. But where were they? Some of them were standing at the edge of town when he came in earlier in the week. Hosanna, son of David. But in a few days, it was all over. Letter B. Some folks think they must be followers because God has been taking care of them. Now, he has been. Give him credit. Every good and precious gift comes from above, the Father of lights. But they have seen God provide in miraculous ways, so they must be in just the right position with the Lord. Well, maybe not. God takes care of the fans as well as the followers. He reigns on the just and the unjust. Now, I bet it's better to be a fan than someone who's against him. But what I'm asking you is to take a step between from being a fan to being a follower. He says, if you'll follow me, take up your cross. In other words, die to self and let God use you. Now, he may not ask you to go to the cross as he did, but it's a matter of dying to self and let God use you. Let her see. Jesus has compassion and wants to bring folks along. We ought to, too. I'm glad when every single person walks in this door to hear the Word of God. I feel the weight of every person in this room. Whether it's just what we have here on Wednesday night or whether it's what we have on Sunday morning or whatever, when I'm someplace preaching, there's 1,000 people there. They're here to hear the Word of God. And I'm insufficient to deliver it. But I know someone who can. And we need to hear the Word of God. Whether we are a fan or a follower, watch this. Now, I'm almost done. You don't have any more lines, but I want you to listen to this. Whether we are a fan or a follower doesn't have anything to do with the Lord's love for us. Well, doesn't he love me more? No, he loves. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. He loved every single one of us enough to go to the cross for us. How do you delineate between that? Distinguish between that? But watch this. Whether we are a fan or a follower does say much about our love for him. Whether we're a fan or a follower says much about our love for him. Folks will say that God loves them whether they keep all the crazy rules and commands or not, whether they stay separated from the world or not, whether they go to church and serve the Lord or not, and that's true. But our actions say much about our love for the Lord. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are you a fan or a follower? Are you a fan of what the Master can do? And excited about getting God to do things for you? Or are you a follower of the Master, seeking to learn and to obey and to serve him and see the mighty hand of God at work? That's our question. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for speaking to us tonight. Kind of a tough question because it kind of puts us right on the scales and seeing where we weigh, where we balance out. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand and see ourselves and take the steps to follow you more closely. Heads are bowed.